Let's
make sure my
let's learn in the Ufua of all those we just mentioned, and in the Lui Nishmat by Mordechai Shoabi, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who's your site list today. Rabbi Yaakov tells us. Okay, Yofi. So we are learning in Chutzal Chesed Yeshiva. This is Reuven Levy. We're learning the book Gan HaShalom. We're on page 72 in the Hebrew version. Yofi. See what beautiful wisdom we have to learn today. Asur sheyeh le'isha eza mitchareh olam. It's forbidden to make your wife the source of any competition.
Tachavut? So she, yeah. There should be no competition.
No, she's Nahon. No, so we're saying the same thing.
She
should be subject to any competition whatsoever. What does that mean? I'm going to explain that now. Shekivyachol lokech la et ba'ala. What does that mean? I mean, for the husband, put something above her. So she now has to compete with the other thing. Even the most important things in the world, yiladim, children, limud Torah, learning Torah, rabbo shel ha'baal, the husband's rabbi, the Kriyot Sefer, things like that. Even those most important things should not be put into competition with a person's wife. We heard today a wonderful share from Rabbi Akiva Weinstein, who was telling us the difficulties that we all face when we have to weigh up two good things. So here, there's no difficulty. Here, when you're weighing up anything against your wife always wins. There's no running to do the other item. There is one clear derech, one clear path that Rav Arash is teaching us, and that is your wife is always first. And it doesn't matter if it's your children, your limud Torah, or your rabbi that is the other option available. Your wife comes first. B'chol shechen avodato, all the more so your work, isukav, your business, tachbivav, your hobbies, chaverav, and your friends. All the more so, any of those things, for sure. Right? It's not even a question that they have to take second place. But even the important things in life. Therefore, in each and every matter which is important to the husband, he needs to have lots of prayer, that he will know what to do with it. Right? Even though I know, I've read the book, and the book says I need to put my wife first. So fine. It's clear. Even if it's my rabbi, even if it's Limud Torah, even if it's my children, I've got the halacha, if you like. I've got the idea. I've got the understanding. Rav Arash doesn't say go with that. He says, even though I've just told you that, you still need lots of prayer to actually do it. To actually know in myself this is the right thing. To actually have the emunah to do it, to follow it through. To believe that this is correct. That Hashem shows me, help me understand that I'm doing the right thing by not coming into yeshiva today and that I'm staying with my wife. I don't want to feel bad all day by having done that. Oh, I should be there, I should be doing this. Right? It's not easy. Particularly if it's children. We're going to come on a bit later to what happens when there's a conflict between your wife and your children. For example, you come home and your wife is screaming at one of your kids. Or even if you didn't come home, you were there and you saw what happened, and your wife is screaming at the Shabbos table, and one of your children by accident knocks over a cup, spills all over the floor, and if it could happen that your wife goes crazy. It wasn't the kid's fault. You saw it. Now the easiest and most natural reaction for a husband to do is say, no, don't worry, don't calm down. I saw it. It was fine. It's not. He didn't mean it. Don't worry, right? And to tell his wife that you're overreacting, etc. Even if clearly was, or to protect the child, don't scream at him so much. right? She had a really bad day, you know she's really stressed about something, right? She's got some really big issues going on at the moment. Kid comes in and from school and does something small, minor. Think of an example. Course, brings a mess. He has some mud on his feet, and he walks in the house with mud on his feet. And your wife overreacts. What are you doing? Bringing mud into the house? Screaming at him? Right? You're sitting there thinking this is not fair. So you try and protect the kid. No, absolutely not. Rav talks about it later on in a bit more detail, but we see from here that even if you're not allowed to put your children above your wife. We're going to look over there later why that is the case and why it's okay to do that and why it's not a problem. But even though we have the principle, we still need to pray on it a lot in order to actualize it, to be able to do it in practice, to have the emunah to hold by it when it comes down to the test.
What about reminding your wife about her health? Even though she skipped for a doctor appointment, but she really does want to go.
So that's not in case of putting my wife first place. It comes under the what we learned about not criticizing a wife. So what we can't do is criticize her. So we can remind her for her own good, but we can't make her feel bad. Meaning, we have to be very careful to be helpful and to do chesed, to remind someone about something they might have forgotten is a big chesed. But to point out to someone that she's not, to point out to my wife that she's, you've forgotten about it again, you're not going to go, you're going to miss it, to make her feel bad, asur, can't do that, forbidden. So I have to know what I'm doing it and what
you're like reminding her to relax, take it easy too. Like if she's working too hard.
Right, so again, it depends. The person needs to be very careful and judge his own situation. Right, a single word can hide a multitude of meanings. The word relax can be said in many. It can be said in a loving way. Relax, put your feet up. I'll make you a cup of tea. Or it can be said, relax, relax, calm down. You're overreacting. Right? It can be a criticism. So each person should have to kind of tell for themselves what their own meaning is. What have to be honest. What am I actually saying here? Am I trying to be kind, or am I trying to make a point?
Hey, sweetie, I'm concerned about your health, you know.
And let's remember, Yaakov, that our wife knows exactly, and it doesn't matter what the words we're saying, right? Or how we try and say it.
Yeah.
Even if we try and say it in a way that sounds good, if it's really not coming from there, she's going
to
know, and you're finished anyway. Right?
So
don't even try to disguise. Better keep quiet. Keep quiet. If in doubt, if I'm worried, is this going to come across correctly? Then if I'm already worried that it's not going to, then best advice. Talk. Okay, so we need a lot of prayer. So the person knows, the husband knows how to act with his wife. We need a lot of prayer for that. In order that my wife won't feel that she has been moved down into second place. Right? I don't want her to feel that she's in second place to anything or anyone. That's my job. It's not an easy job. Tough job. But Tom, you said it was going to be easy. They said it was going to be easy. They were lying.
Don't you want to have a daughter? Because I'd rather have boys instead of wives. And I don't want my wife to feel that there's competition in the house.
Tov, hatzorech shel isha liot b'chashivotel yona etzal bala. The need of a wife to be the highest, the uppermost importance to a husband. And to receive all of his attention, to full attention. This is a decree from Shemaiah. Decree, this is from Hashem. You can't argue with it, it's from Hashem. Like it says in the Torah. And to your wife, it's to her husband. To her husband she will desire the Huyim Shalbach, right? And he will rule over her. Right? The Torah says in Bereshit that the curse, if you like, the curse, harsh word, but the curse given to a woman is that she will desire a husband and her husband will rule over her. That's the way Hashem made it. Right? The husband, which she desires her husband's attention, her husband's complete attention, that she's number one, and he will rule over her. That is the way Hashem decreed it. You can't argue with that. Sheperusha, that the meaning is, Shebaal Moshelba Matzav Rucha Shalishto. It means that the husband governs the Matzav Ruach, the emotions, the way the woman feels. V'chol Chayuta, the Simchata, all of her life and her happiness, needs to come only through him. Mitusumat halev shelo, from his attention. Miakavod aleha, from the respect that he gives her. If you want to say about that, and things like that. So we're learning from this passage in the Torah that what we're learning in here, that the Rav says you need to give her the full attention, and she needs your attention. You can't criticize her, and her life force comes to you. Is a gezeira from the Torah. It's what Hashem made as a rule of creation. You'll see why he's going to ask why that is the case in a minute. But that's a given. You can't change it.
Yeah, the second part of this, I think, explain that. Will you show back and the husband will rule over you?
Yeah.
So
he does rule over her. Why? Because she is dependent on my attention. I rule over her by the fact that if I don't give her the light, the attention, the love, the respect, she's nothing. She's gone. She's finished. She's completely dependent on me. Therefore, I'm ruling over her. Not in terms of telling her what to do. That's anyone who's tried that will see that that's clearly not correct. Right? That just doesn't work. Right? But in terms of the practicality, that's the practicality. It's a curse on the woman. It's not an instruction to the man. If it was an instruction to the man, then it would be phrased differently. And you shall rule over her. Right? That's your job. Be the ruler. Tell her what to do. No. This is purely to the woman. You will be dependent on him, and he'll rule over you. The man is not even in the picture. The man is not even aware of that. It's got nothing to do with him. It's not like my active ruling. It's the fact that she's subservient and she's ruled over by the fact that she is subservient, by the fact that she's needy, she's dependent on my attention, on my respect. Okay. Lachen ein ladam lalechet neged mashia teva boed. Therefore, a person can't go against what Hashem put as nature, benefesh isha, into the soul of a woman. Right? That's her natural position. You can't argue with it. You can't challenge it and reason out of it. You can't speak to your wife and say, look, mostly wives are dependent on their husband, but you're different. Don't worry. You're not. Right? You can't. Even if she agrees with you, she read the book, she understands it. She goes, yeah, I understand, and I'm not going to. I don't need you to do that. I understand that you love me and I don't need your full attention. It's a teva of a nefesh. It's not that she's just not, if she was more tzedeket, she wouldn't need that. No, it's nothing to do with that.
She needed it.
It's a gezeira.
Like food.
And she's dead. She has no light. Right? She's the moon and you're the sun. If you're not shining the light, she has no light.
So she goes for help.
So she'll have to get it somewhere else.
Like the woman we met
at the cottage. Right? So like the woman we met at the cottage. Right? She, the woman decided to... we were selling books at the kotel. We were trying to do hafatsa at the kotel, and a very nice lady from the United States of America, professor in university there, professor, came to recorrect my misunderstanding of the world.
Right.
So anyway, we had a short discussion and agreed by the end of it to go our separate ways, and that was it. Anyway, Tov, let's carry on with the what we're learning here. Okay, so you can't go against the nature that Hashem has decreed for woman. That's her nature. Ela rather lishtadel sapek umalei et nafsha. Therefore, a person has to try to satisfy and fulfill his wife's soul, what she needs. Shereihi tuliyabo. Because she is dependent upon him.
Huh? She's dependent.
Right. Perfect. So she's dependent. Right. So that's the situation. She's dependent on you. She can't help it. She can't change it. You can't do anything about it. And if you don't deal with it, you have a mess.
Mm-hmm. Many obligations on her.
Right. Right. That's
so how does she live in the world?
Until she's married, she gets her chiyut elsewhere. I don't know how, it's not. But once she's joined to you under the chuppah, then her neshama comes through you. So she's getting her light from you. But until then,
isn't it woman of wisdom? She has two values. One is the husband or from the father, they give her wisdom and da'at, okay. And the knowledge. And when she married, she gets from the husband.
Okay.
When she not get, she have a small battery and this is the money.
Okay.
You see many women, they look for rich people there. So why? Because they're very. But a woman, she not. Relationship to her father or to the chair, which is not married from relationship.
It's a need for, maybe we can say it's a need for security. Right? So she gets that security from being either in a father's home, being looked after, or from a husband, that he gives her the attention, the love, the respect, or she gets it from money. Like you're saying, that the money takes the place, the money is the one that's protecting me. If I have money, then so she goes after money, goes after shopping, goes after. But that's our job. Our job is to fill that need in the wife with what it needs to be filled with. And that's why Hashem created it, right? You brought the point that under Jewish law, a man needs to get married, but a woman doesn't. That's because the job is for us to be fixed, not her. Right? We're the one that needs fixing. Hashem says, I need to give you a woman, a wife, and you need to deal with all these issues. You need to deal with the fact that your wife is dependent upon you and you have to rule over her, right? And you have to give her everything she needs. Right? She has continuous love and attention and respect. Right? That's part of our tikkun, to learn how to do that. To learn how to do it properly. Right? We can't be a... fulfill your tikkun. You can't be a man. You can't fix your soul if you've never had to give love, give attention, give all of that. You're sitting in yeshiva all day just learning. You don't have a wife to practice, to work out, to deal with, and you can't learn all these things. There's a couple of reasons, there's a few reasons, Avarish says, why Hashem decreed that it should be like this. The first reason. Since it was the woman, Chava, Eve, that caused her husband, the Adam Rishon, to sin, caused the first man to sin. Right? She was the one that said, here, try a bit of this. taste this, tell me if it's good.
Eat this.
Right? Uvakach hevia mita l'olam. And through this, she brought death to the world. That's what happened when they ate from the Eitz Da'at Mara, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It brought breath, death to the world. Before then, there was no death. They would have lived eternal lives in Gan Eden and everything jolly. But since they ate from the tree, they also brought to themselves death. Sha'arei lifnei achet lo ayo tzrichim lamut. Before the sin, there was no need to die. Barak v'glal achet tzarech ba'ala lamut. And only on account of this sin did her husband need to die. Lachen ata zeo anashad. Therefore, this is now her punishment, so to speak. Shehi chayevet lekabel etach. That she needs to take her life force dafka specifically from him. And without his attention, he metach, she dies. She withers, she dies. She's now, because she caused him to die, so to speak, by bringing the sin, so her life is now dependent upon him.
When she's not getting life from the husband, she
has
to look for another place to find life.
Right, it's not real life.
Yeah.
It's pretend life. Facebook life. And shopping life. And whatever else life.
She needs.
She
needs. She's not really life.
No, she's not what she needs. She's not trying to find the stuff that's missing.
Cool. It's important.
Right. Yofi. And this is something that we see in practice. Even if a wife has everything good that there is in the world, kesef, zahav, gold and silver, margaliot, jewels, kareira, mutzlachat, a successful career, ma'amad, chavrati, gavoa, high standing amongst her friends, kavod, mikulam, respect from everyone, ba'od, ba'od, etc., etc. Im ein la et ha'yachas ha'kavod mi'bala, if she does not have the respect and the respect from her husband that she needs, ein la shum simcha, she has no joy, no happiness, the sipuk, or satisfaction in any of those things. So she can have all the material things in the world, but if she doesn't have what she needs from her husband, she has nothing. Right? It's not the case for a man. Man has all those things: gold, money, jewelry, fast cars, friends. He's very happy. Right? It's not the same. It's not the same. Not the same, right? We can live quite happily without the respect and the attention from a wife. We like it; it's very nice. It's pinuk. It's attention. It's lovely. But without it, it's not like we wither away. So I just busy myself with something else, right? It's nice, and it's to have a negative atmosphere is really bad. That's uncomfortable. I don't want that at all. But not to have the positive is not such a bad thing for a husband. He doesn't really even notice it. He comes home, he eats, he sleeps, he goes to bed, whatever. And as long as it's not overtly negative, he doesn't even notice. It's not so with the wife. She can have everything, and it.
Because we learned the thing in Parasha.
Yes.
Should we get the rest of 90 years? Should we live after 127 years? I say no, I say hi.
Rabbi Yehiyu, the gematria is 37.
Okay.
And I think that Sarah wasn't really happy with the life that she had for 90 years.
Right.
She was waiting
for a child.
For a son.
Okay.
For a son. So. By Yuchaye Sarah, her life, her real life,
right,
began with she had a
son. Okay, so. So, what are we saying in relation to this?
He wasn't happy for that.
I understand.
there's a different level. Look, here we're dealing with the husband's obligation. Yeah, fair. And if she's missing a leg too, she's not going to be happy. But we're not dealing with that. We're not dealing with stuff that we're dealing with our job. Why? Because I can't deal with anything else. I have to deal with my job. My job is that I have a job for Hashem, which is to make sure my wife has full attention, full love, full respect. And if I don't do that, she's not going to be happy. Now, if she's still not happy at the end of that, then that's not my issue. Like, that's between her and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and whatever. He wants to give her a child, he doesn't want to give her a child. That's not. But that doesn't mean that.
Why isn't that your job?
To give her a child? Because it's a transition?
Yeah, you have to pray.
Maybe as well, but we saw that even you're telling me that the Baruch Hu Rebbe didn't pray for children? For sure he prayed for children, he still didn't have. So it's not in our hands. We our job is to make our wives happy. To pray. It's not hard to pray for the things we need to pray for. But other stuff that's outside our hands she was still very happy. Up until 90, she didn't get to have Nevuah and to be a level higher than Abraham in Nevuah without Simcha. You can't have Nevuah without Simcha. So it's not like she was sitting there miserable. The rest of her life, when she, there was something missing maybe, but on the level we're talking of Sarah, here we're just trying to get up out of bed without falling on the floor. We're not looking at those extreme levels of greatness that before 90 and after 90. We're still looking at the basics, which is 90% of our task. The other top cream, the top icing of the 10%, Yofi, for when we're tzaddikim, we can worry about those issues. But right now we're trying to deal with just basic shalom bayit, just basic my responsibility to my wife.
Is the family watching? So how you can find out that the wife is not so happy? So how you can find out is your problem or is it because of the child?
Don't know.
If a
couple does not have children and the wife is not happy, how can the husband know whether it's him that's making his wife not happy, he's not doing what he should be doing, or it's for the fact that she doesn't yet have a child? Look, I think the truth is, it's probably me, because I'm the 90% and the child is the 10%. Right? I'm the most important factor by far. If I'm doing my job 100% well, then she has an issue that she's still not finding herself completely happy. It's not that she's unhappy. If I'm doing everything, I'm giving her full 100% attention, full light, full everything, she's basically speaking to all intents and purposes, to everybody, she looks happy, she's over the moon, she's full of life, full of joy. Inside her soul, she's got something that's missing, and that she knows. But it's not like a day-to-day sadness. Well, it's not like an obvious thing. I don't think it's from the children. The Zedavasha, right, so it doesn't matter what the wife has, if she doesn't have the attention for me, Ein la shum ta'am l'chaim, she has no joy in life. V'ze ma'asiba shehevenu shekach gazar bo'e shekach yuta v'simcha shel isha chayavot lavo derech bala. And this is the reason why Hashem made a decree that her life and happiness should come only by the husband. Me'ahava shelo me'hayachas v'kavod shelo ela, from the love and from the attention and respect that he gives her. Right?
Right.
However, there is true in the highest levels. There is true. We know from Hannah and Ellie. Who was married to Hannah and Ellie, that Ellie was, it says Ellie in the passage, Ellie was better to her than 10 sons. Hannah and her husband, Elkanah. Elkanah was better to her than 10 sons, right? And she still wasn't happy, and so she went and prayed. But over there, we're talking with our Gedolim. So there is an Indian, there is truth in what you're saying. But for our level, Baruch Hashem, we can take the general principle that it's all coming from us. Because those levels are mamash. When we've done our job completely and everything's better than 10 sons, then we can get into the Indian of, if she's still not happy, then. So.
That pasuk can be very useful at times. If the children are nasty to the mother, or ignore the mother, and she's complaining about it, you put a hand on their shoulder and say the pasuk.
Well, then you better be better than 10 cents, otherwise you're going to get it. You're going to put yourself in the firing line. Alright, should we do a little bit more?
But even if you're not in top shape, that gives you the idea that you are trying to comfort her and you're trying to be better.
All right, you try it, tell me what happens. Hasiba Shnia, yeah? Hasiba Shnia.
It's
a very special person. Hasiba Shnia, the second reason. Zel tikuno shel abal al otochet. The second reason why Hashem decreed that a woman needs to get her life and joy and happiness only through the husband. The second reason for that is, it's a tikkun for the husband on the same sin, Adam HaRishon. She'acharei she'chata Adam HaRishon v'chet ha'gava shel v'yitem kelokim. Since Adam HaRishon sinned in the sin of the arrogance of v'yitem kelokim. What does that mean? When the snake came along and tried to persuade Chava, Eve, to eat the apple, it was an apple, eat the fruit of the tree. There were five different opinions of what it was. One says an apple. Anyway, one says grapes, one says chita, tov. Anyway, fig,
Esrog.
What?
Esrog.
I didn't see Esrog. Maybe someone else. So anyway, so what happened? The snake came along and said, if you eat this, you will be like God. You will have the knowledge, you will have the wisdom, you will have whatever it is that you're missing to be like a God. And it was one of the reasons that persuaded Chava, and then by extension persuaded Adam, because he was saying it was man's sin. He wanted to be like God, that's why he ate from the tree. The whole deep meaning about what it means to be. So, anyway, let's not go to that. Let's just say that's the pshat. Atat tzarich sheyitzamtzem et atzmo. Now he needs to tikkun that how? By constricting himself, yivatel et hagava v'anochiyot shelo, and cancelling his arrogance and his ego. Right? Now I need to put my wife in first place. Right? I'm above me. I need to cancel my own desires, cancel what I want to do. No ball game for me, no fill in the blank, whatever I want to do. Right? I now need to cancel myself to my wife. That's a tikkun for my arrogance, a tikkun for my ego, a tikkun for Adam HaRishon. HaRatzon sheyesh l'kol adam l'tarkez ba'atzmo. The desire each man has to focus only on himself. True guys, we do that. Lefateach etatz mor v'kadome, to develop himself, to develop himself, etc. Sharsho b'chet adam harishon v'yitem kolakim. Right, the source of that desire is in this sin. To be like God, I want to be like a God. I want to be like Moshiach, as we heard this afternoon. This morning, right? We have that desire to be the man, to do everything, to do what we can, for the good or the bad, right? You can direct it anywhere, but it's still there. Let's go out and do. Let's go sell some books, right? You can put it into anything, right? its root is not in a good place. Its root is in ego. It's about Hashem, if Hashem wants it, then it should happen, blah, blah, blah. It's cocky about semyadi. By the strength and power of my own hand. The opposite of anava, humility. When I need to put my wife before everything else, lifnei atzmo, before even me, lifnei kol ha she'ifut shelo, above all my desires, v'litchashev v'ishto, and to consider my wife, la'gishota, to feel her pain, to feel what she's going through, la'vinota, to understand her, levater al kol davar bishvila, to cancel everything for her sake. La tetla ahava, to give her love, sumat lev, attention, le kabedota be'emet, to give, to truly respect her. Bazeh huma teken eta cheta adam arishon, cheta ga'ava. By doing this, I fix the cheta of adam arishon, which was ga'ava, arrogance. Big thing. Shem knows what he's doing. Everything is perfect. Everything. From the high level decrees and rules that are all in creation, that this is how a man needs to be with a woman, right? To my specific, to my personal family situation. Everything has a purpose, and another purpose, and another purpose, and a reason, and Rav Nachman writes, everything has a purpose, and above that it's got a higher purpose, and above that it has a higher purpose, and so on and so on. Everything that happens. Right? And therefore, a husband needs to cancel himself to the will of his wife. When he does this, when he does this, he fixes the blemish of the heresy of Kochi Va'asem Yadi. Kochi Va'asem Yadi is the strength and power of my own right hand. I am doing it myself. It's heretical. If ain od milvado, if there's nothing in the world apart from Hashem, and Hashem, as we know from Rambam's 13 principles of faith, who oseh, who asav, who yaseh, and kol adavar, kol amaseh, he did, does, and will do everything. If Hashem is doing everything, and there's nothing apart from Him, then what do I think I'm doing? What do I think I'm doing? Whenever I think that I'm doing something, let's go sell some books. Right? Heresy. It's kafira. It's mamash heresy. I'm doing it. I'm not doing nothing. Right? If I trample all over the first principle of faith of the Rambam, that Hashem does and will do everything, I say, yeah, apart from me, I'm making myself an avodah zarah. I'm making myself into an Elohim. That I suddenly have the power to do stuff. It's not simple. It's not just, just me. It's a kafira. It's a heresy. It's very hard to hold by that. Nonetheless, it is. So that's Hashem. We shall continue tomorrow.